It's the footballiest time of the year. With quarterbacks throwing and tailgaters ready for some brats and beer. It's the pigskiniest time of the year.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Well, we've kibitzed some more. We filled the last 6 months. Thank you, World Cup. You were a fun little diversion. LeBron decision part two. Same, at least that one was more entertaining, I think, than the first one, or more satisfying, at least. Baseball pennant races. What was there? Winter Olympics? I can't remember anything from what happened in those Winter Olympics aside from Bob Costas getting pink eye. But a big thanks to all of them for distracting us, what little they did, because it's back, everybody. It's football season. And how better to ring it in than with one of our very favorite football talkers in all the land. It's at Move the Sticks. Daniel Jeremiah, what's the poop, fella? How's summer been?
Oh, summer was great, Dave. Had a little nice little trip to Alaska, but I got to tell you, it feels good that we're going to actually have some games that matter coming up here. Getting excited.
I know it. It's really, I feel very pleased with, the fact that it got on us a little more quickly. Some seasons it feels like forever. For me, I feel like it arrived relatively quickly. The thing that occurs to me, and we're going to, by the way, dig into a little what we've been doing here for the last month or so, going by division and playing high-low, glass half empty, glass half full, if you will, if everything breaks right, what the best possible result for each team in the division is and what the worst possible result for each team is going to be. And that leads me to remind you, go to NFL now and get that app, or go to NFL.com/now and make sure you do it, because Daniel Jeremiah and I are going to be doing in season, we're going to be doing a little glass half empty, glass half full kind of stuff. We'll evaluate these things not just by team but by player and by game and so on and so forth. We have a lot to promote, in fact. DJ, bear with me here for a second.
No,
here.
Go for it, let it rip.
First of all, we just finished up, you, me, Matt Money Smith, Akbar Baja Biamila, Greg Rosenthal, Coach Brian Billick, we just did the mega cast. All the podcasts here at NFL Media got together, sort of like in The Godfather, the scene when the heads of the family all sit down to figure it all out. That's what we did. We got together this morning in front of the kickoff of the first game up there in Seattle, and we figured it all out for you by segment. Each podcast, like I say, represented. And I thought it was pretty good. And there'll be videos, right? Black Tie Behind the Glass. There's a video of each one.
That's right. There's a video of each segment, and each segment was tiered to a specific podcast. So this podcast, the Around the NFL podcast, the Coach's Show podcast, Fantasy Live, which the show is also a podcast, and
college football
24/7.
Yeah,
podcast.
And maybe, just maybe, a new edition. That's why Daniel Jeremiah was there, as well as the fact that he's the favorite guest on every podcast here at NFL Media. You may soon dip your toe into the podcasting waters, eh?
Yeah, you know, back in the day, Dave, when I was let go in Cleveland, so we're talking 08.
I didn't know you got canned. You
yeah,
got the boot
Eric
from
Mangini,
Cleveland.
Eric Mangini came in. I came over from Baltimore, so anybody
creep.
That came
I'm
over
gonna
there.
Have, I have a few choice words
That's
for him.
That's fine. It all worked out. So, but when that time I had off before I took a job with the Eagles, I started a podcast when not many people were doing podcasts back then, and it was really just kind of me, you know, talking about the scouting and what you're looking for in positions and stories and a whole host of different things, and trying to tie that in with current players and games. And I had a lot of fun with it, and that's why I love coming on your podcast. I love doing our college football podcast, but I'm kind of working on the side, see if we can come up with a Move the Sticks podcast where we can kind of take some of these ideas we had from before, throw some new wrinkles in there, and get that one out there. So I'm hoping, efforting, I guess would be the word, to get that out before we kick off next week.
I don't
week.
Know when efforting became
I like that word. You don't
right.
like efforting?
It's a weird verb. I don't know that we need that
it's
word.
It's a lot of effort.
Yeah. Here's a completely random thought, because we have TVs here in Studio 66. Maximum strength! How do you like the new
Dicks? Studio 66.
All right, Black Tie. How do you like the new Dicks?
I love the new Dicks.
Yeah, pretty nice. Yeah, it'll be nice for you to
I know,
join us up here.
Were these for you? Or was there? Is there? I'm just waiting for us to find out that some super talent is coming in here and gonna be running a podcast. And we're all out. All of us are going to some other, you know, studio somewhere else. And there's some mega star coming in here.
Thank you, Dave Damashek, for bridging the gap into some actual talent.
So
now
guys,
that Daniel Jeremiah is here, he'll take it.
I know you guys are wondering why I gathered you here.
They asked you. Kamish Goodell said, "Hey, Black Tie, go ahead. You do it. You play Turk for us."
All these fancy monitors. Why, Black Tie? Why is there Ed Reed podcast promos up all over the studio in here? Is there something that we don't know?
But I was watching TV. This has nothing to do with anything other than I was watching football. I was watching some of that Georgia State game the other day. And there was a commercial on. You know, it's I feel like I've been gypped a little bit by life because based on every movie, every commercial, every TV show, the amount of times that somebody in that crowd, in that audience for the wedding, jumps up and yells, "Touchdown!" and then looks around and realizes, "Oh, no, I'm in church or I'm at a thing." It's amazing. I've never been at a wedding where that's happened.
Never
I feel
seen that.
Sad.
You've never
now,
seen
have
that
you?
Go down? No, but I almost wonder if it happens in church at all.
Does
I
mean, anybody
is that the
ever,
other one, the second
have you ever
most
been
played?
At a wedding when anybody objects? That's always in movies, too. If anyone here would like to.
I've been at a wedding before where I thought about being that person. No names.
That would be great to be that guy. All right, let's dig into some football.
I have not
here.
Been at any such wedding. However, though, if we were going to go into things that are in movies that don't just make any sense, well, there's always parking downtown in movies. It makes zero sense. So it's street side parking. Really? Sure. Really, Michael Bay? It's really going
to
be.
Oh, I have a lengthy list on this subject. If you're just things that the unreality of movies.
It's ridiculous. It's always, for example, a phone call always ends incorrectly. No one ever just stops talking and that's the end of the phone call. It's always a, "All right, talk to you later. Bye." That never happens. Also, more.
Well, I mean, my favorite one, I think, is in movies with cops. There's the argument at the crime scene about whose crime scene it is. Like, you know,
who has jurisdiction?
The feds are here. Hold on, sheriff. I got jurisdiction here. Huh. This is my crime scene. Real cops, they want to get done.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, good.
You want this?
Hey,
awesome.
My kid's got a Little League game in like 10 minutes.
Hey, give me a call. Better yet, don't give me a call. Give somebody else a call if you change your mind on this, because this is officially your jurisdiction, pal. You got it.
All right, how about morning breath? That doesn't exist in the realm of movies, neither.
Oh, people the hair. Well, even just bedhead.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's like, you're just going to talk right in someone's nose after making up?
As a kid, though, the one that stood out to me was watching Back to the Future when she writes the note out by the car. Or, you know, she says, like, "Call me," and writes her number down, and she literally does it in half of a second, and it's a full it's a full sentence with the number, and I think I want to say like a heart or something.
Speaking
that
of notes
there.
Here's another thing that I bet has not, well, maybe it has happened. If you have, I'd love to hear your story, your sad tale. But has anyone ever dumped somebody with whom they live by leaving a note leaned up against a vase or something like that? Because that's every movie. The guy comes home or the woman comes home, and the closets are empty. They're just some empty hanger sitting there, and they look around. Oh, and they found the note, like, "Sorry, I couldn't
you just,
hack
you,
it
you just
anymore."
Described every country music video of all time, by the way.
But in the history of mankind, no one's actually ever done that. Oh, he's gone to work? Good. Now's the time to move out. Get the boxes here. Or also, I'll send for my things. Who sends for their things?
I would love to have somebody that was picking up my things.
I know. I wish I was so rich and powerful I could have others fetch my stuff for me. All right, now listen. Let's talk about football, shall we? College football starting off this weekend, DJ.
Yep.
That's really exciting stuff. And then pro football. What divisions have we covered here, Black Tie? Before we get into that, though, one thing that did occur to me, because Andy Dalton just flashed across the screen. Here's what's a remarkable
aspect.
I'm going
to need to turn those TVs off.
I know.
That's
going to
distract you and take you even more off track.
What's the worst?
What's the movie? It's like Up or somewhere. Squirrel.
I really am that.
That is
it's
Dave.
Sad. That is me. I really dangle some shiny keys in front of me, and I will lose whatever we're talking about. But, you know, the nature, a phrase that's emerged in the last few years is it's an update league, you know? And I am guilty.
It's also a copycat league, by the way.
I've heard that. I also heard it's
a
quarterback
league.
You have to. It's a quarterback league, and you know, you have to control the line of scrimmage if you want to win, and you have to run the ball if you really want to be good.
It's all about turnovers.
But don't turn it over.
And you're only as good as your backup quarterback.
Yeah, that's right.
I just made that up. Just protect the ball.
You know, it's a good idea to control field position. Is always going to help your team. And
hey, don't lose the game. More games in the National Football League are lost than are won.
So I was thinking about Andy Dalton specifically, and I'm guilty, I realize. You know, week to week in season, you redefine what you think about every team based on what you just saw on Sunday, and you only have 6 days to extend that conversation until it gets rewritten again. But with Andy Dalton, I feel like I've decided the Bengals are not relevant in the Super Bowl race because of Andy Dalton, because of how he played specifically against the Chargers. But the fact of the matter is he's been very productive. He has a ton of weapons around him. Hugh Jackson figures at least to be an upgrade. He's the victim more than anyone else I can think of the last 6 months that we have really doubled down and tripled down and really gone crazy with the Andy Dalton isn't a guy who can win a big game. Is that, before we get into anything else, where are you on Andy Dalton right now?
Well, I think Andy Dalton's a quarterback that, you know, is probably one of the top. I would put him probably in that 14 to 17.
It's area funny. We counted it out, yeah. And I counted literally, what did I say, 17 quarterbacks I counted as better than he is.
That's kind of where he falls for me. Now, there's 10, 12 teams that they would be a huge upgrade if they had Andy Dalton on their team. But just when you look in the playoffs and you look at the teams you're going to have to run into, the defenses you're going to play against, the other quarterbacks you have to match up with, that's when he comes on, you know, gets the short end of the stick. And he has a very talented roster, but when they've played better teams, and a lot of times that happens when you get in the postseason, he hasn't measured up. Now, he's young. He's still got plenty of time in his career to prove us wrong. I just don't think talent-wise, skill set-wise, there's anything that just blows you away.
I don't know why I'm seizing on this, but I guess he really is. The reason is, as I say, he's the personification of a guy who has been really beaten up in the offseason for one bad game. And so I'm trying to figure out what the reality and the myth of this guy is, because just like we said before last season, the Bengals continue to be maybe the most talented top-to-bottom roster, not in their division, but in the whole conference. They should be. No one is picking them, in other words. I haven't seen anyone say boo about the Bengals making noise in January, and I assume it's because of that. Then again, Marvin Lewis maybe deserves some of the criticism here, mild though it is. But has anyone, by your recollection, DJ, done less and kept their job more in the NFL than Marvin Lewis? He's never won a playoff game.
Yeah, but you look at where they were before he got there. I know it's been a very long period of time right now, and they're a consistent winner. But to me, it feels like where he is right now, it feels a little bit like the Tony Dungy Colt years, right? Where they're going to the playoffs every year, but there's no payoff at the end. And at some point in time, are you satisfied with winning that amount of games, or eventually you say, we've got to get that, you know, find our John Gruden, so to speak, to take that next step. I think we're getting close to that time period for Marvin Lewis, where you're talking about this year, next year. If it doesn't happen, even though they're winning 10, 11, 12 games, it's okay. We got to find the guy to get us that next step. And maybe it is John Gruden.
Well, I wonder who they will chase. Who do you think will be the hot names this offseason along with John Gruden?
David Shaw's name is going to still come up from college. You're going to hear that a bunch. Coordinator-wise, yeah, I got it. You know, one of the guys I really like long-term, I think their team's going to take a step back this year. But we've also seen guys get jobs for what they did the year before. I keep an eye on Doug Peterson with the Chiefs. Now, I think the Chiefs are going to come back to earth a little bit. Played well last year. Former quarterback, offensive guy, can help develop quarterbacks. Even if they don't win as many games this year, if you see Alex Smith play good football, I think Doug Peterson will be a name you start to hear about.
And, you know, back to Andy Dalton then. I feel like
Frank Reich, too, in San Diego. This is like the kind of that backup quarterback group, and Jason Garrett's still hanging out there, but it's like the 90s when we were watching all that football in the 90s, all those backup quarterbacks. It's like the NBA with all the little point guards. They're all head coaches now. It's kind of coming.
Who do you think is the Cowboys will chase if Jason Garrett
Harbaugh,
and the Cowboys
Jim
have
Jim Harbaugh.
You do think so? And would that be an appealing gig to him?
I think Jim Harbaugh next year will be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys or the Miami Dolphins.
Whoa! This is strong stuff.
I do. I just think that's coming. I think that power struggle that kind of, you know, got reported out there and they've tried to refute it. To me, it doesn't feel right. And I think if the 49ers were to not take that next step, not to get back to the Super Bowl this year, it'll be viewed as a disappointment. And I think, you know, we saw him exploring the coach trade with the Browns. I think we would see one next year.
All right, I'm all over the place. So be it. We're trying to jam it all in here. We're going to get to the NFC North in just a second here. But that, every time DJ sits down with us, he just starts dropping a bunch of
crazy nonsense.
No, I love it. This is exactly what I want. You are really emerging. You know what you could do? You're on your way to doing it. being the Peter Gammons of the NFL. I think that's the gig of a lifetime of all the things you can do in sports media. Peter Gammons for 20 years sat on ESPN and just randomly speculated about what he thought was about to happen. And no one, so what if he's wrong? Nobody ever cares. Like, I have an inside scoop that tells me. But Andy Dalton, what do you think about his arm strength? Because to me, I said a few months ago, and it clearly is not going to be the case anytime soon, but I said, you know, A.J. McCarron to me is going to get a start, and not because Dalton is hurt. I think he's going to get a shot. To me, isn't A.J. McCarron everything that Andy Dalton is, but maybe a little bit better? He had great...
Not as mobile. He's not nearly as mobile as Andy Dalton is. Andy Dalton's a much better athlete than
A.J.
McCarron.
Boy, that's some harsh criticism. Not nearly as mobile as Andy Dalton is not something you want put on you.
Yeah, well, look, Andy Dalton, you saw him run around in college, and he can extend plays a little bit inside this offense. A.J. McCarron's going to park it in the pocket. That's where he's going to be come hell or high water, and he'll sink or swim right
bigger
there.
Bigger arm, though?
Yeah, a little bit bigger arm, more size. You know, I think I wouldn't look at that and say that's a slam dunk that he's going to, you know, get an opportunity there.
Well, if you get pressure on Andy Dalton, that's not good. Most QBs don't do great with it. But the problem for Dalton is if you are a detractor of his, and, you know, the statistics do indicate that if you get pressure on him, he really goes down the tubes fast, that he's in the wrong division. Because the Browns certainly are going to bring it more even than they did last year. And you would assume that Dick LeBeau now has the pieces in Pittsburgh. That defense is predicated on athletic linebackers making plays. You would think Jarvis Jones and Ryan Shazier and Lawrence Timmons, who's the most perennially – one of the most perennially underrated guys in the NFL.
Suggs and Doomerville. And
I mean, boy, oh, boy, right? I'm not even counting on the Ravens having a big bounce back defensively. But, I mean, yeah, he's in the wrong division. That's at least four, if not six, tough games against
But he's done well. He's done well playing against those teams.
But the Steelers have not done what they –
No,
well,
the Steelers are going to be
gonna
better.
Bounce back, right.
I'll give you that. I'll just say this. I've worked in that division for two different teams, and just knowing people around the league and knowing people with all those teams in that division, I've talked to, I don't know, maybe three or four people post-extension for Andy Dalton and brought the subject up, and it was met with a ho-hum, you know, like, yeah, okay. It wasn't like, oh, gosh, they just re-signed Andy Dalton. We got to deal with him for the next, you know, 7-8 years. It was just kind of, oh, I saw they re-signed Dalton. No, that's fine.
Who is your pick for that division, by the way?
Cincinnati. Cincinnati. Just, you stack up the quarterbacks in the division. He doesn't stack up at the very top, but I just think the other 21 starters are so talented. He'll be able to just distribute the ball. They can run the ball more. I think Hugh Jackson will make more of an effort to make them a running football team, and I think defensively they're really talented.
Well, I bring that up also because we talked to Ben Roethlisberger on our most recent podcast.
How was that,
podcast.
By the way? I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet.
You know what? I went back and listened to it, and you know the rule here, DJ. No jive talk, and I'm not going to jive you, the listener. It wasn't my best work.
Really?
I feel like there was I felt a certain amount of pressure, you know. That's big.
That doesn't get bigger than him. Literally.
It wasn't. No, I don't get nervous to talk to because of the star power, but this in particular – you know, I'm a Steelers fan, and I wanted.
You don't want
to
come. You don't want to come off as you're too.
I didn't
want to
be too much of a homer, but I didn't want to be too critical. I left some meat on the bone.
Yeah, give me TD's opinion here.
He was so out of sorts that he did not ask what's the poop fella to start the conversation.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, and a lot of people pointed this out on Twitter, and that's, you know.
We had some good conversations.
We met
on some things. The game I always cite when people say the whole nonsense about, well, those early years, Roethlisberger was carried by the defense, so on and so forth. That's how he got that Super Bowl ring. I always say to people who point out, well, the Seattle Super Bowl, he was lousy in that.
The playoff games.
Go back and
that.
Look at the Indy game and look at what he did in Denver, and that's exactly the game he picked out. He said, the Denver game is my best postseason effort ever. Mm-hmm.
That's all fine and dandy, but do you know what I got when I interviewed one of my favorite quarterbacks?
What's that?
Hey, I'm Russell Wilson, and I throw a sexy deep ball.
I'll tell you, my biggest regret with Roethlisberger was I should have had him as a Steeler fan. I should have had him chant, here we go, Steelers, here we go. I should have had that for all of time.
How long did you talk to him?
12 minutes maybe, right, Black Tie, about that? The question also I would like to have asked him, and now I turn to you, DJ, you evaluate the skill sets of all these guys, the measurables and so on. If all 32 starting quarterbacks got into a big Grand Royale fight, who would win?
A fight amongst all the
fight.
Quarterbacks?
Big bare-knuckle fight.
Wow.
Who you got, Black Tie?
I might go Cam Newton. He is stinking huge. When you stand next to him.
I agree. Cam Newton or Ben Roethlisberger would be my two choices.
I think Cam just more quick twitch. I think he can hit Ben three times before Ben responded.
Yeah, but now Roethlisberger, he's on the wrong side of 30. He's got old man strength now.
If Tebow was still in the league, I'll go Tebow.
Ooh, that's a good choice. Sure. He is not, though.
And he would fight you all day long. He would never get tired.
Yeah, he's that guy. Yeah, he totally would.
He'd kind of be like an Ultimate Warrior type, just kind of shaking the ropes
probably
and have the ties around his arms.
It's a Superman move, yeah. Big Ben, pretty solid himself. Sturdy guy, you know. You bounce off him. Like
I bet if you caught Peyton Manning 5 years ago, he would surprise. I bet he probably has a little bit more strength than you anticipate. Brady would not do well.
You know who else is really big when you stand next to him is EJ Manuel.
I was thinking about EJ. Yeah,
Kaepernick would do pretty well too. He'd probably be more MMA style. Yeah.
He'll get you in some kind of a triangle hold.
He's got that exotic vibe to him. We don't know what he knows. He might have spent a year or two over in Thailand.
Remember, you ever play Street Fighter, guys? Well, you're too old for Street Fighter, Dave. Yeah. Little Sagat going on. He was a TIE fighter.
See, I got Jay Cutler would just throw one punch and be like, "Do we really want to do this? Let's just come on. Let's just call it."
Who would be the hold me back guy?
Jay Cutler actually might be the bad guy in movies who you punch as hard as you can, and like he turns his head and then he turns back around and kind of like half grins at you. That might be Cutler. Yeah.
Phillip Rivers would be the hold me back guy.
That's right.
Just talking, just jawing like crazy, right. And then the other guy like, "Let's do this." I'm like, whoa, guys, get over here, get over here.
Phil Rivers would be in the conversation. I regret not bringing this up to Roethlisberger now. But we talked about this, that, and the other, and I thought it was remarkable that I realize I, among them, keep saying, Blake Bortles is Roethlisberger incarnate, you know, maybe a little less stout physically, but slightly more mobile. And I asked Roethlisberger about that, and even he sees the similarities. They can't be denied. I would think that a professional athlete, given the ego required to play the position, they don't want to hear about, hey, yeah, your career is nearly done, but here's another guy. No one, the world won't skip a beat because we already have somebody else like that.
Throw a couple of guys in the ring there. Russell Wilson, I think he'll be pretty good as well.
Oh,
I'll tell you what. How long is the fight? Like, how long is it round?
Three minutes.
Look, 3 minutes for the first 2 minutes and 45 seconds. Nobody's beating Tony Romo.
See, classic.
He did it. DJ did it.
He totally did it. Totally did.
It was there for us. No one cashed in. DJ did it. Congratulations.
I cashed that check.
Hey, by the way, real quick, one more plug. Black Tie has dipped his toe into the writing waters now.
I did not know this.
He's got a piece up on NFL.com right now. About
doing movie reviews?
About Madden, when you said the video games. That's a great idea. You reviewed EA Madden, right?
Yes. It wasn't necessarily a review. It was just more so how Madden's keeping up with today's NFL. Like how last year, like coming up with the Seahawks win over the Broncos, everyone's getting defensive. The game's getting defensive. You can play the game from the defensive point of view. But read it. Don't listen to me spoil it for you.
NFL.com. Track down.
Mine just showed up. Madden just showed up yesterday. My son played it all last night. He was happy as can.
Really?
Awesome.
At producer TD is the way to track him down on Twitter. He's been tweeting nothing but updates on how the public at large is responding to his fine piece of writing there. So track that one down. Oh, yeah, and one more thing, and then we are getting to the NFC North, about the Roethlisberger interview that did stand out. Go back and listen to it. We talk a lot about how the Seahawks players and, in fact, their fan base has a chip on its shoulder. I detected a little bit, and I mean in a good way, a chip on Roethlisberger's shoulder. I asked him about the obvious sort of thing of, you know, it goes Peyton and Brady and Rodgers and Breeze, but very often the casual fan leaves Roethlisberger out of that.
Very true.
And depending on the expert you talk to, analysts like you, guys who played the game as well, say, oh, Roethlisberger's great. He's just that doesn't fit the same mold as those other four guys. But he's definitely in that iron five of the QBs you'd want, you know, leading man kind of stuff. I asked Roethlisberger about that, and you can detect his answer was, yeah, maybe someday people will look back and say, yeah, that guy was pretty good. Maybe we should have appreciated him a little bit more when he was still around. You can feel like he gets that there is a vague level of disrespect for his skill set, you know? Interesting.
Yeah, it's more of a blue-collar team. It has been a blue-collar team. It's not a flash team, and the quarterbacks that get all the attention are flash quarterbacks. The numbers are usually higher because they're throwing it more. It's just a different style. Now, they've thrown it more in Pittsburgh recently, but still, that's kind of the reputation.
When you say flash, though, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Drew Brees are anything but flashy.
Yeah, but
their
six touchdown games are flashy.
No, the numbers are. But the deeds to watch them are not spectacular the way Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Cam Newton are spectacular. Gunslinger, inaccurate to some degree compared to Brady and Peyton, those guys that are on the money. What would you rather have? The guy who is the glory I don't know what the term is yet, but I'm trying to figure it out. The game manager has a stink on it. Mm-hmm. But what is Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? What those guys are game managers. They don't turn the ball over much. They're on the money. They get the ball to their pass catchers.
They play within the function of the offense.
Right. You always, if you have that, you are almost always going to get to the postseason. But when you're limited by that, when you're not the gunslinger, then you don't take the chances you need to take to get your team over the hump in tough spots like Roethlisberger, Favre, and so on. So which is better? Which would you rather have if you're building a team?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. You want that consistent, you know, winner every single year. You want that team that's going to get you to the playoffs. You want a chance the guy has the higher ceiling, the way I look at it, to make great plays and to make things happen. You talk about getting in the postseason. You have to be able to make some of those off-schedule plays. So to me, if you're building your team, you know, I always look at everything from a job security standpoint. Give me the guy that's going to run what we want to run and get me in the postseason every year. We just talked about Marvin Lewis having a job, haven't won any postseason games.
Well, and that's exactly right.
Whereas if Mike Tomlin has another bad year or something, now we're talking about Mike Tomlin. Is it time for something there? You know what I mean?
I agree. If the Steelers, you know, if they had a stinker, if they go 7-9, there will be a lot of people on the banks of the Three Rivers calling for an end to the Mike Tomlin era. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, it's interesting. I love to look at it that way. Let's say this. Joe Montana, we did this question about a year ago, Black Tie? I love that question, though. Would you rather have John Elway, Brett Favre, and Ben Roethlisberger, or Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and who's another guy who cuts that figure?
You didn't put Montana in there with him?
Well, Montana could run around some. He could improvise more than those guys.
Would you rather talk about the NFC North?
All right, creeps, fine. We'll get into it. I just think that's a fun
philosophical
question.
Like you
said,
it's the football time of the year. Let's get ready for the season.
All right. Also, I also enjoyed one more thing. Mark Sessler asked a great question on the last podcast right after Roethlisberger. Would you, if you were the Steelers and Jags, Blake Bortles for Ben Roethlisberger? Who would say no to that deal, to steal one from Bill Simmons? Who says no to that deal?
Jacksonville would say no.
Jacksonville
just because you have young coach, young general manager, young quarterback. That's the way it works.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, let's get into it then, Black Tie. The NFC North, like we've done for pretty much all the other divisions, the high-end, low-end potential for each. Let's start with the Green Bay Packers. Daniel Jeremiah, everything breaks right. The health is sound for the guys up there. What's the best they could possibly do?
Better yet.
What?
How about DJ? How about you set up the best record possible and give us a storyline of why that best record would happen, and the worst record possible, and give us a storyline of why that would be possible.
Just with Green Bay.
Why didn't I just do that? I mean, how
like
is that
said,
any different
Dave,
than what I just
days
said?
Days are numbered here, so we're making this transition easier. You know.
Wow. Oh, I get it. I get it. Wow. So I don't even get to have an opinion. Fair enough. You're the boss. You're tough but fair, Black Tie.
All right, Green Bay Packers, everything goes well, and in my opinion, that has to do with their pass rush getting cranked up, Julius Peppers staying healthy to complement Clay Matthews staying healthy. With their passing game on offense, what they're going to be able to do there with Aaron Rodgers, all the weapons they have, they're going to score a ton of points. It's going to put teams in a position where they have to throw the football. So to me, it comes down to that pass rush. Those guys stay healthy, play well. Green Bay Packers could be a 13-3 team.
I agree with that. And first of all, Dayton Jones, how good can he be? Seems like they're
give him some inside. You can give him some inside pass rush. He can kind of balance those guys out a little bit.
How big a loss is B.J. Raji?
Figuratively or literally?
Well, I know that he grades horribly, but then again, he was playing some end, and I would think you just want a big fella,
a space eater.
So is that a significant loss?
I just think when I look at their division and you look at the Lions chucking it, the Bears chucking it, you got to worry about the Vikings with Adrian Peterson. But overall, I'd rather have rather have my horses on the outside stay healthy. If you told me I had to lose a B.J. Roger or some of my interior guys, to me the whole thing is keep those two edge rushers healthy and productive.
I agree with that, and it's funny, talk about narratives and all that sort of thing. One of the very biggest stars 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I mean top six or eight star in the league was Clay Matthews, yep. But injuries have now removed him. He's sort of out of the conversation now. If you get a healthy year out of him, he can be the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, he's still really gifted. I mean, to me, Von Miller and Alden Smith yeah. are the two kind of freaks. J.J. Watt, I mean, those guys have dominated the discussion. But I think you talk about sack totals and numbers.
Yeah.
If Clay Matthews can stay healthy, he can get up there in the high teens.
And what am I missing? I know Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was a needed addition there, but the trio of cornerbacks they have, young and fast, right?
Yeah, and they got some size, too, and they can play up and get up into people, which they're going to need to do because the receivers, when you look at that collection of receivers in that division, I throw Cordarrelle Patterson in there as well, Minnesota, mm-hmm. you better have some corners.
All right, so 13-3, I agree pretty much with that, but looking at their schedule, even if they are a good team, I'd say 12-4, but yeah, the high end is probably 13-3. All right, low end then.
Well, the low end to me is if something ever happened to their quarterback.
I know, but don't do that.
You're taking that off the table?
Yeah, that's true for 20 teams if you took their quarterback
away. Everything, you know, so health, everybody stays healthy. If things don't break their way, I still think worst case scenario, this is an 8-8 team.
Really? I wouldn't even go that low. It's hard for me to fathom how they could really get off the rails.
Yeah, I mean, that's the worst case scenario.
Okay, let's go next then to the Chicago Bears. I have said already to, you know, I don't mind your ridicule. That's fine, reader on NFL.com or colleague Daniel Jeremiah. I stand by what I said. Year two, Mark Trestman, the black horn rim glasses, the weapons that he has around him, a good offensive yep. line. If you haven't been paying attention and you stick with that noise about the Bears have a terrible offensive line,
no, you haven't watched
it's them. Now fixed. Jay Cutler's going to be the MVP of the NFL this year.
That's a bold one.
How's he not? He's going to put up massive numbers. How couldn't he put up massive numbers with that? With what he's got around him?
No, it's a bold prediction. I don't think it's totally crazy. When I look
I
at
do.
Their, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say if I was going to list candidates, he would probably be in my 7 to 10 range.
All right, that's not so.
That's
bad.
Not terrible. But when I look at their team, Chicago, I think everything goes perfect for them. I still think on defense they got to shore some things up. I don't know Jared Allen, what all you're going to get there. You know, is he going to stay healthy? Is he going to be productive? Still worry about him at the safety position. I'd say everything goes perfect for them. That's 11-5 team.
Really? Because to me, they are Ego Ferguson and Will Sutton. And based on what I've read, and I obviously am not breaking down what they're doing on the defensive yep. interior, but people seem very hip on both of these guys. Now, I know obviously they're incented to feel that way. They just drafted them in here into Chicago. But I get the sense that they legitimately think these guys are going to be good starters for them. If that happens, maybe it's not in the first couple of weeks of September, but by midseason, if those two guys hit their stride and are stuffing the run, then that's a complete football team, top to bottom, no?
I don't know. Lamar Houston and company. I mean, I don't look at that team and have a real fear factor with what they have on the defensive side of the ball. I just don't.
All right.
So that's where I am.
Low end then.
Low end for them, I would say 6-10.
Whoa, they could go that low, huh? 6-10.
I mean, I just look. Jay Cutler is capable, like you said, of having an MVP year. He's also capable of going through a little bit of a slump in that division.
Yeah, but now
brutal.
You got Jimmy Clausen.
Yeah, Jimmy Clausen looked like He-Man in the preseason. I just think in that division. I look at their games. Okay, those six division games, they could lose any of them. I mean, all those teams are capable. So I don't think there's any layups on that schedule.
Detroit Lions high end Jim Caldwell era begins.
High end, I would say 10-6.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think you'd be more optimistic about
that. I love them on offense. I just think on the defensive side of the ball, in the secondary, again, this is, you know, this division with these quarterbacks, secondary concerns, that worries me a little bit.
I feel like we just went through three teams, and all three of those, I keep saying this, the NFC West has been great, but now is the day of the NFC North. That is the division that will rule the 2014 season, and I'll go so far as to say all three of those teams we just talked about are going to the postseason. Offense matters more than defense now. I know the Seahawks just won the Super Bowl, but you know, that powerhouse kind of offense, as long as you get something from the defense. And, you know, Ziggy Ansah, you know better than I do, but you know, it was 2 years ago. He was a project at BYU, had barely ever played football, but his talent can't be denied. He's a better version of JPP, and, you know, in terms of what he has physically. And in his rookie season, he was dinged up a little bit, I think, but still, I think it was 8 sacks or something like that. A pretty nice rookie season for a guy you position as a project, a guy who's not a finished guy in his rookie season. Year two, still with Ndamukong Suh next to him, a guy who has been very good but inconsistent. I feel like, man, those two guys, when is this defensive line in Detroit going to pay off all the promise?
Yeah, we got all those high picks invested in there. Nick Fairley, I was there during training camp. He didn't look all that hot when I was there during training camp.
He's done, I assume.
Yeah,
that's why I didn't
so
include
take him,
him
off there. And Ndamukong Suh is just a power player. I'd like to see him be a little more varied in the way he tries to get to the quarterback. It's all power with
is
him.
Is he good?
He's a really good player, but he's not, you know, anywhere close to when we talk about J.J. Watt and some of these other interior guys that can really, really rush the passer. He's just not a gifted pass
top
rusher.
Top five in his position?
At his position, I would say he's in that, yeah, I would say, you know, McCoy and is a freak show. J.J. Watt's at the very tippy top. You know, he's a 3-4 end. But those two guys, I think there's a sizable gap before you get down to a Suh from those two guys. So, to me, when I just look at him, I just, you know, I on that defensive side of the ball, I like what you're saying about Ansa, and Jim Washburn's going to let him kick out in that wide nine and get upfield, and he's got a chance to have a big year. I just worry about people just kind of picking him apart in the back end.
How much will Vince Lombardi's grandson,
Joe Lombardi?
Joe, do for that offense?
I mean, the thing is, coming out of there
from New Orleans.
Yeah, the offense was great.
Yeah.
Before. I mean, it's not like they have to do all these drastic changes. You just got to get Matt Stafford to take a little bit better care of the football. But, I mean, they ran the ball a lot better last year than people give them credit for with Joique Bell and Reggie Bush. Sack-wise, I think they gave up the second fewest sacks in the NFL. It's just Stafford just taking care of the ball. And when I was there in training camp, Golden Tate was fantastic. And part of the reason is he's going up against those crappy cornerbacks we're talking about, but I think he is positioned to have a really good year. I think he's the best guy opposite Calvin that they've had there. So that to me is a great addition. Lombardi's going to put him in a bunch of stuff, and he's got the Jimmy Graham package he can incorporate with Eric Ebron once he gets more comfortable. They have 3 tight ends they can put on the field. They can do a lot of different things. They have, you know, Reggie Bush is obviously very versatile. They really like Theo Riddick. I mean, they've got a lot of weapons on offense for him to play
You've been talking about Theo Riddick for some time now. And, it does seem like coming out of that New Orleans system and the clever stuff that Peyton and Breeze did to now take that up to Detroit,
yep.
I think that offense, I think we both agree. But if the Bears' defense isn't if it skews more in the direction you think it will versus my more optimistic frame of mind about it, there could be some 78-74 games between Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah. Well, just look at the entire division. When you just look at the wide receivers in this division, I put this group of wide receivers by far the best of any division in football.
It's funny because these three quarterbacks of these three high-powered offenses all in broad strokes don't cut the figure. It's something we've talked about that, you know, the field general and Peyton yells at guys and all that kind of jazz. And Tom Brady will yell at his guys a little bit and so on and so forth. None of those three guys
do it.
These
are like the fraternity brothers is kind of what this division of quarterbacks
is. Is that bad?
It's a hat backwards. You know, we got our khakis on and our shirt untucked. You know,
they all
want to
win. Yeah. I don't doubt that I don't think anybody doubts that Aaron Rodgers is interested in winning football games, but they all do have that kind of shrug. They're not leading men in their in the persona that at least that we see. Is that do you look at that at the combine? Are you looking at that? Like, I don't know. I don't get the vibe off him. Is that something that you guys kibitz about?
No, I mean, just in terms of, you know, how you handle yourself, it was a bigger deal when I first started scouting, and there were a lot of old scouts in the mix. I remember being in meetings where, I mean, we were having discussions about guys having tattoos, and it was like, this guy's got earrings, and it was like, it didn't take long. Well, it's just, you know, listen to the old scouts kind of say their piece because that had been a big deal for a long time for them. And then it was maybe a year or two in, so this is like 04, 05, where, you know, finally we just started saying, you know what, all of our best players have tattoos and earrings, and you look around the league, we're not talking about this anymore.
That's interesting.
And that was it.
All right, let's round it out here. Oh, before we do, though, Peyton Manning, I said about the yelling. Can you imagine – I tweeted it this out, and people accused me of race baiting. It has nothing to do with the race. But Peyton Manning running down the field, when he chases down DJ Swearinger to berate him for what he perceived as a bad hit, which it was not at all. It's ridiculous. Go back and look at the play. What was DJ Swearinger supposed to do in that situation? The guy is going full speed at a guy who's going full speed at him. The Wes Welker gave him no target other than what Swearinger took. But either way, Peyton Manning takes it as a slight and chases him down and jaws at Swearinger. Imagine, I said, what if Cam Newton had done that? What would be the reaction? Because the media's reaction was, look at Peyton. He's still got some spunk. He's ready to go for the regular season. And ha-ha, it's hysterical. But if Cam Newton did that, he would be, this kid needs to grow up. He needs to behave himself. See, he still doesn't know what it takes to be a quarterback in the National Football League and all that kind of pious stuff. And it has nothing to do with Cam Newton's race. It has to do with the perception that we have of Peyton versus a guy like Cam Newton. How say you?
It's true. You could insert the newer quarterback in Johnny Manziel.
Eisen started going at me on Twitter, too, on Saturday about the same thing. And he said, I think Peyton's earned it. He's been in the league for 16 years. If anybody's going to police going to be the on-field policeman, it should be him. I don't know. Isn't he biased? Isn't Peyton Manning biased on the field? He's biased for his guys. Who's he to police versus anybody else in that situation?
Well, that's a fair point. One other side of this thing that literally just came to me. I just kind of figured it out. I was a big fan of DJ Swearinger when he came out. Huge fan. To the point where I said if I had a red star on a player, I would have put it on him just because I loved how aggressive he played. He kind of reminded me of somebody we would have really liked in Baltimore. And when they asked you to do comparisons to NFL players, I compared him to Bernard Pollard. And Bernard Pollard, I just had to look it up, was fine for the huge hit on Wes Welker. So now DJ Swearinger has lived up to the comparison by taking his shot at Wes Welker. But no, I didn't think it was – I don't, like you said, I don't know what else he's supposed to do in that situation.
But, I mean, and by the way, for the record, I love trash talking. It's funny. Any personality is great by me. If Phil Rivers – It amuses me. I don't know if I'd love it for my QB, for the team I root for, but it's still interesting to watch. It adds some color to the games. I'm not opposed to Peyton doing it. I'm opposed to everybody hailing him like this was a brilliant move when, 25 other quarterbacks do something like that, they would be berated for being classless or whatever else. All right, let's get to the Vikings now. Matt Cassel wins the gig for how long, I'm not sure. Either way, he'll be under center in week one. Adrian Peterson, a good offensive line, like you say. Cordero Patterson, Greg Jennings, Kyle Rudolph.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer looked good, man. He's slimmed up. He's running well.
I mean, this is the question is defense, but then Mike Zimmer in year one. Well, I'll let you speak your piece, and then I'll ask you a question about Zimmer.
No, I think, again, this team is – everything can go perfect for him. Adrian Peterson looks like he always has. He doesn't seem to age. If he has a big-time year, take some of that pressure off Matt Cassel, who has looked – really comfortable in this new offense with Norv Turner. And then even if Cassel were to struggle, Teddy Bridgewater is a promising player. I think everything goes perfect for him. This is a 10-6 team.
Pretty good. And, people poo-poo. Like, it's funny, it's a three-horse race in a lot of people's minds, but the Vikings were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
They got players.
How quickly can a coach be expected if his specialty is defense? And in year one, obviously, he hasn't had time, but they did bring in some players for him in the draft and otherwise. How quickly can Zimmer be expected to make this a decent defense?
I think he will. I think he can make it a really good, solid defense right now. Just look at Rob Ryan, what he inherited and how bad it was in New Orleans, having a coordinator brought some creativity to the job that he did. And you look at his brother Rex, going from Baltimore to the Jets, and it seemed like they're top five defense every single year right from the jump.
It is interesting when you watch. The greatest example of that is probably the same basic group of players going from Mike Singletary to Jim Harbaugh. If you have any question of the difference a coach can make, that's a pretty as far as that goes.
Did you bring that up to Mike Singletary when he was in here with you? Did you?
I didn't have the time.
Okay.
Elliot Harrison, our pal, was too busy explaining to Mike Singletary why the 46 defense worked. To the middle linebacker, the Hall of Famer. Like, let me tell you now why
Gary
the defense
Fensick
you played in worked out.
Gary Fensick. You don't have Gary Fensick. That thing doesn't run.
There was Coach Singletary there.
Can't say it.
Yeah, I told
him. You got him
to
do that? That's great.
I asked him to tell me that I'm not a good enough podcaster. Can't do it. He said, I won't say it. So that's the closest we got with him.
Can't say it.
Daniel Jeremiah, if you are listening to this on Thursday in front of the afternoon, then listen live. If not, and it's more likely that you are listening to it after the fact, you can still find it at iHeartRadio or go to 570am570.com, because Daniel Jeremiah is sitting in with our pal Matt Money Smith today on that great radio show, and should be fascinating stuff listening to these two go back and forth in front of the season's kickoff. In addition, you can go to NFL.com and to NFL Now, and you will see what we talked about there. The Supercast, the heads of the families, all getting together to figure it all out for you. Videos galore for you there of DJ Matt Money Smith, Akbar Bajabiamila, Coach Brian Billick, Greg Rosenthal, and me yapping this about this, that, and the other. Black Tie did a great job putting that together. Make sure you check out his column as well about Madden. Oh, also, make sure you check out at NFL.com. I tried a little Harvey Levin type thing. I went around and TMZ'd the staff a bit. You're lucky you missed that, DJ. I went around and found people where they were. I thought it was fun. That it was casual.
That was actually fun.
It was fun because, you know, everybody's always polished up with their makeup all over their punim and all that. No one knows. That's not reality. I found the reality. I went around with a camera. Somebody was standing by a salad bar. That's where I ate. I hit them up.
It's odd you'd mention the salad bar.
Oh, the Dave Damashek soup station. Yes, serving up soup to everybody at the NFL media. All right, DJ, great stuff as always. Thanks for this and for being a part of our Supercast. We'll look forward to hopefully seeing the Move the Sticks podcast back up on NFL media very soon. And obviously we'll see you all over the place on every platform once the season gets rolling here. The great Daniel Jeremiah, a.k.a. at Move the Sticks. Oh, and Black Tie. Should we round it out just for fun? We interviewed Mike Ditka a couple weeks ago in Canton. Why don't we play that for him right now? He had some interesting thoughts. If we don't catch up with you before the season's kickoff, me and Matt Money Smith are heading up to Seattle for Fail Mary 2. Can't wait for that. So we'll come at you at some point next week from up there.
Fail Mary 2, Road to Redemption.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I did a movie trailer for that when I got the news season for schedule came out, and that was my title.
I got news for you. I know Seattle's kept that chip on its shoulder based on the way they played in the preseason here. I have a hunch Aaron Rodgers and that team has a chip on its shoulder for losing the Fail Mary 1. For what it matters, I think they're going to go in there and win that game. I know the road team never wins that game, but I think this time they will, that season kickoff. All right, so listen, we've said it all and then some. Ooh, also, Ross Tucker and I are on Adam Carolla Thursday night. Be on the lookout for that podcast. We'll be talking some NFL season preview. What else would you expect us to do? We're both going to be on there with Carolla, so be on the lookout for that one. All right, about half a show's worth of promotions and then some real nuggets there from DJ. Great stuff, huh, Black Tie?
Really good. All right, really good.
Here he is. Let's turn it over. My conversation a couple weeks back with Coach Mike Ditka.
You're listening to Dave Damashek.
All right, this is great on many levels for me as a pro football fan, as a Pitt football fan growing up in Pittsburgh, and my mom is from the same, not just town, but the same block as this guy was growing up in Aliquippa, PA. It is, of course, the legendary coach and player, Cowboys, Bears, and so on. Mike Ditka, how are you, sir?
I couldn't be any better.
You look like you...
A great time right now in my life, and it's I'm enjoying it.
Well, good for you. You look nice and healthy, nice and sunny.
Well, I play a lot of golf. I don't play good golf, but I play a lot of golf. I have fun, and that's what I do.
Well, let me tell you this real quick. My mother, Michelle Zubasic, at the time, grew up on your block, and she told me once that she was not allowed to play with the Ditka boys growing up because they used to pull down under little girls' underpants. True or false?
Not the Ditka boys, the Ditka boy. Me, because I was the older. But I tell you what, I never pulled down anybody's underpants, but I did get my butt whipped a lot by my dad. So, but I did have a knack of getting in trouble. I mean, I could get in trouble when I was a kid better than anybody.
What do you think then, speaking of trouble, I mean, that's what everybody's buzzing about in 2014. What about a guy like Johnny Manziel? What do you make now? Everybody is gets up on Mount Pius, in my opinion, when you think about Mike Ditka and Paul Hornung and Max McGee. I mean, you guys were known to enjoy a drink or two.
I just have to say one thing. Let it play out, will you? The media, let it play out. I've heard all the critics, and fine, they have a right to be critical if they want to. I'm a Johnny Manziel fan. I'm sorry. I like the guy. I like what he brings to the table. I like his talent. I like his confidence. And maybe if I was drinking, I'd have a beer with him.
Hmm. Yeah, see, if nothing else, he'd be a good guy to hang out with. I'm sure he'd be fun. What do you make in the 21st century? It seems as though the Seahawks and Pete Carroll are riding a wave of a new sort of mentality when it comes to coaching professional athletes in the 21st century. You know, Mike Tomlin, Rex Ryan, Jim Harbaugh, all players' coaches and all successful ones at that. Is there still room? I mean, you were known to be more of a hard-nosed guy, get in the face of a player a little bit. Bob Knight, George Halas, Vince Lombardi. Is there a place for that kind of coaching in the 21st century?
Well, I still think Lombardi was a player's coach if you talk to his players. I think Landry was a player's coach if you talk to them. I think I was a player's coach. But, I mean, rules are rules. You have to have a set of rules. You have to have discipline. You have to do certain things. Now, Pete, the way he's done is pretty interesting and very, very successful. They've created a heck of a football team up there. A lot of pieces in the puzzle on the defensive side of the ball. Great young quarterback. They do some things that are and Pete's a high-energy guy. He's a go-go guy. And I think he's a young guy, and he infuses that energy into that ball club, and they receive it pretty well. So I think there's a lot of ways to get it done. But you can't get it done unless you got the horses to run the race. They got the horses to run this race.
Let's play real quick here. You know, you have your gold jacket. And by the way, I ask it of all Hall of Famers, why don't you wear the gold jacket more? Shouldn't you wear it? What about if you should wear it on TV when you go out to dinner, you know, just to show everybody, remind everybody, hey, guess what I have and you don't. You know what I'm saying?
No, well, the Hall of Fame is, it's not about anybody else knowing about it. It's what I feel about it, so... My jacket hangs in my closet. It comes out once a year. I bring it when I come here, and I put it on for maybe 5 hours when I'm here, and it's good. You know, but it's a great honor. I see the guys today, listen to some of the comments they make. I'm too old to be doing all that, but it's interesting because if you look at the history of the National Football League, I was in a room today with probably 80 Hall of Famers that... Really, that depicts the whole history of the National Football League over the last 60, 70 years. And people have a tendency to look at things where they're at instead of where they started. So this has been an evolution. It's been unbelievable. You turn it into a multi-billion dollar business. But it started out with, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul. So Mr. Halas had to do that and Nambo and those guys. But it's worked out pretty good.
Let's talk about the Hall of Fame right now and specifically some current NFL players. And, of course, everybody knows that you are a Chicago Bear, one of the most legendary Chicago Bears. Matt Forte, when his career is done, do you expect that he finishes it in Canton getting a gold jacket, yes or no?
I think Matt Forte is one heck of a football player. I think what will help everybody's resume, including Matt's, is a Super Bowl championship, more championship. I really think that always helps. I mean, but Matt, to me, is one of the most versatile players in the NFL today. I don't think he gets nearly the credit he deserves. Outstanding guy. You can use him as a receiver, running back. He's a good blocker. Just a good football player. Now, I don't vote on the Hall of Fame. If I did, a lot of guys would be in it, but I don't vote on it. But it's a great honor, and I don't think Matt's thinking about that right now. I think what he's thinking about is, how can we get a championship back to Chicago?
What do you make of Jay Cutler? I've been advocating not only is he going to have a great year with Mark Trestman and all those pieces he has out there around him, I think he has a real shot at the MVP this season, and Brandon Marshall has recently said the same thing.
Well, I love Jay Cutler. I love his talent. I mean, he's got to step in and be the leader of that football team. But, yeah, Mark's done a great job with him. I think the maturing process of the whole offense is outstanding. The defense is going to be a lot better, guys. They really are. Jared Allen's going to help him. He's going to bring a maturity and leadership on the defensive side of the ball. The draft's going to help him in the secondary because they were very poor in the secondary. You can't outscore people every week. You got to stop them sometime. So your defense is going to be the key to what you do. If you have a good defense like we had in 85, it didn't matter what we did on offense. You know, give us some time, we'll catch up, and that's what happened. But the defense triggers everything.
Couple things real quick for you. I just caught up with Mike Singletary a couple weeks ago and asked him these same two questions. First of all, in 85, listen, I don't jive, and I hope you won't be offended by this, Coach. I contend that if the Miami Dolphins, in the dome, on the fast track, if they could take you down in South Beach, then I think they might have taken you down in the Super Bowl. Do you ever look back on that and think, good thing we got the Patriots and not Dan Marino?
No, I never thought about that, but I do know that Miami probably was as good as anybody in the league at that time. And Coach Shula had a great group of guys. And, yeah, I would say that probably at that point they would probably would have been a better, more formidable opponent for us. But, I was just glad to get us there. Once I got us there, once we got it there, I knew we were going to be okay.
I also contend that had Charles Martin, if that had happened in the 21st century with social media and everything else, that he would be much more vilified than he was the Packers defensive lineman who spiked Jim McMahon on his shoulder. Do you ever feel like, wow, that was really a dynasty? If it weren't for that one play, that dirty play by Charles Martin, we win at least one more Lombardi.
Well, I don't know. I really don't. I believe that the people on the field were the best people. Jim McMahon was our quarterback. He was a good football player. The kid backed him up with Steve Fuller. I thought he was a good football player, too. You know, when you put a new quarterback in or replace a quarterback because of injury, it's up to the rest of the team to make that adjustment. And I thought we did a pretty good job. We just, on the Monday night, we just got the wrong team, the wrong coach.
Last question for you, Coach Ditka. Who is the most handsome Hall of Famer ever?
Huh?
Most handsome Hall of Famer.
Handsome. Gosh, I don't know.
Don't be bashful if you think it's Mike Ditka. You can say Mike Ditka.
No, I was looking today. A lot of guys look really good. I saw Dan Fouts. He really looked good. I mean, there's a lot of Danny Marino. I mean, I couldn't. Come on. There's a million guys out there.
Dan Fouts, with that beard, he's the most handsome?
I said he looked good. I didn't say that.
By his standards,
he looked like
maybe.
Sherlock Holmes or somebody. He looked good. I liked it. Dan, I mean, I don't know who you know. I think it's all in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, a lot of the guys. Mike Wirvin's a nice looking guy. I mean, mm-hmm. Tony Dorsett's a nice looking guy. You know, Jim Brown's a nice. I mean, I don't know. You go on and on and on. But I mean, yeah. I said that one guy looked pretty. Hey, Bob Greasy. I mean, they all look good. I mean,
how about Joe Namath? He's from the same area.
Absolutely, but he wasn't there today.
I see.
So I didn't see him today, and I forgot about him. And Joe Namath is a fantastic, fantastic guy and a fantastic football player. And he put Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, on the map forever. And another guy from Beaver Falls, Joe Walton, wasn't bad either.
Joe Walton, yeah. And then from that general area, the Steel Town, where my grandfather was in J&L for decades on end, Tony Dorsett.
America Bridge, Ambridge, all the good players came out of there. Boy,
1972, my grandfather called my father and said, I just saw a kid playing at Hopewell who's going to break all the college records when he gets to Pitt, and
somebody,
so he did.
Somebody told me that, too, the same thing. We got a kid out in Hopewell. We got to see him play. Now, how he ended up Pitt getting him, I don't know. But he could have went anywhere in the country, and Tony was special.
Last thing is, by the way, don't we have to improve? Pitt keeps putting guys over the last decade or so. Darrell Revis, Shady McCoy, even Andy Lee is maybe the best punter in the league. And yet, we struggle to make a bowl game every year.
The kid coming in today, coming in the league, the defensive tackle is going to be a great player in the league, too.
Aaron Donald, right?
Aaron's a good football player and a good kid. It takes more than just players. You got to have a system, and you got to get the right people in the system. And it's not getting any easier, whether they're playing in the ACC right now. Mm-hmm. Not getting any easier, so it's
Maybe you put on that gold jacket. People will think you're wearing one for the Golden Panthers, and you become the coach, and
that. The coach is fine. They just got to recruit a little better.
All right. There you have it, the word.
What are you sweating about?
It's hot in here.
It's not hot in here.
It's very
hot. It's absolutely not even hot in here.
Wow. I don't know.
See what you got to look forward to?
What?
See, at night when you get to bed, you turn the air conditioning up to 75, you put all the blankets on, then that's nice and cozy.
I could
do that.
Well, I feel steamy. What can I tell you, you know?
Well, you're probably just nervous talking to me.
That is definitely true. Intimidating indeed.
Intimidated, but nervous.
A little bit nervous.
All right.
Okay, there he goes. Coach Mike Ditka.
Thank
you very much.
That was absolutely insane.
Thank you for the time.
Dave
All right, nice old man, huh? I call him an old man because I call my mother an old bird. You know, old Mo Damashek growing up on the same block with Ditka. That was fun. That's right, Mo Damashek. In fact, she went on to elaborate that he used to hang from monkey bars Girls would hang from monkey bars. That's where Ditka would get them. When their hands were up on the monkey bars, Ditka would come up and pull down the underpants. He didn't deny it. He said he can't remember it, but he didn't deny it. Anyhow, so fun stuff with him. All right. We've said it all, and now we're going to wrap it up here. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.